ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यस्मिन्निदं सद्सदात्मया विभो सॉरी अगेन यस्मिन्निदं सद्सदात्मतया विभाति यस्मिन्निदं सद्सदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः तन्नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् तन्नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिन्निदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः तन्नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध सत्त्वं तत्त्वम् प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिन्निदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः तन्नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिन्निदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिन्निदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिन्निदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधुतिस्रजिवाहि बुद्धिः तन्नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्यूढ कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये
Matajis?
Yasmin idam sada sadat mataya vibhati. Maya viveka vidhutisra jivahi buddhihi. Nitya mukta parishuddha vishuddha tattvam. Pratyudha karma kalila prakritim prapadye.
Word for word, yasmin,
in which,
idam,
this,
sat asat,
the
Supreme Lord,
and
his different energies,
atmataya,
being the root of all cause and effect,
vibhati,
manifests,
maya,
illusion.
Viveka vidhuti.
Liberate by deliberate consideration.
Sraji.
On the rope.
Va.
Or.
Ahi.
Serpent.
Buddhihi.
Intelligence.
Tan.
Unto him.
Nitya.
Eternally,
mukta,
liberated,
parishuddha,
uncontaminated,
vishuddha,
pure,
tattvam,
truth,
pratyudha,
transcendental,
karma,
fruitive activities,
kalila,
impurities,
prakritin,
situated in spiritual energy.
Prapadye.
Surrender.
Surrender.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as one with the cause and effect within this body. But one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope, can understand that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus, the Lord is transcendental to all material contamination, and to him only must one surrender. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as one with the cause and effect within this body. But one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope, can understand that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus the Lord is transcendental to all material contamination, and to him only must one surrender. Purport. This verse is specifically stated to defy the Mayavada conclusion of oneness without differentiation between the individual soul and the super soul. The Mayavada conclusion is that the living entity and the super soul are one, there is no difference. The Mayavadis proclaim that there is no separate existence outside of impersonal Brahman, and that the feeling of separation is Maya, or illusion, by which one considers a rope to be a snake. The rope and the snake argument is generally offered by the Mayavadi philosophers. Therefore, the words which represent Vivartavada, or specifically mentioned herein. Actually, Paramatma, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is eternally liberated. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is living within this body, along with the individual soul, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. They are likened to two friends sitting on the same tree. Yet, Paramatma is above the illusory energy. The illusory energy is called Bahiranga Shakti, or external energy, and the living entity is called Tatastha Shakti, or marginal potency. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the material energy represented as earth, water, air, fire, sky, etc., and the spiritual energy, the living entity, or both energies of the Supreme Lord. Even though the energies and the energetic are identical, the living entity, individual soul, being prone to be influenced by the external energy, considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be one with himself. The word prapadye is also significant in this verse, for it refers to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. In another place, the Lord says, bahunam janmanam mante jnanavam mam prapadyate. This prapadye, or sharanam braja, refers to the individual's surrender to the super soul. The individual soul, when surrendered, can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated within the heart of the individual soul, is superior to the individual soul. The Lord is always transcendental to the material manifestation, even though it appears that the Lord and the material manifestation are one and the same. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, he is one and different simultaneously. The material energy is a manifestation of his external potency. And since the potency is identical with the potent, it appears that the Lord and the individual soul are one. But actually, the individual soul is under the influence of material energy, and the Lord is always transcendental. Unless the Lord is superior to the individual soul, there is no question of prapadye, or surrender unto him. This word prapadye refers to the process of devotional service. Simply by non-devotional speculation on the rope and the snake, one cannot approach the absolute truth. Therefore, devotional service is stressed as more important than deliberation or mental speculation to understand the absolute truth. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. If you want to preach to a Mayavadi, no one can be a better preacher than a person who was a Mayavadi himself and then became a devotee. Right? So in the Bhagavatam, we start with Shukadeva Goswami, who was impersonalist and became a devotee, and he's preaching Bhagavad philosophy. And in this section, we have Sanat Kumara, who himself was a great impersonalist. And now he's preaching Bhagavad philosophy also. Right? They were extremely intelligent. No Mayavadi can compare to them. They were impersonalists. They had the realization of Brahman, and they were attached to that understanding of oneness. But the moment they visited Vaikuntha, and they just felt the smell, the aroma from the tulasi leaves in the Lord's lotus feet, they were transformed. No? Tasyara vinda nayanasya padara vinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayu. That was enough. No? It said that bhakti only comes through the association of devotees. So tulasi is such a powerful devotee of Krishna, that just by smelling tulasi, they became devotees. Sankshobam aksharajusham apichitta tanvo. That means, even though they are so attached to the impersonal understanding, immediately they were transformed in their minds and in their bodies. just by smelling the aroma of Tulasi from the Lord's lotus feet. So that's the power of association with a devotee, especially a devotee like Tulasi Devi. So Sanat Kumara, being a big impersonalist, extremely powerful and intelligent, the son of Brahma, now when he wants to preach against Mayavada philosophy, it's very easy for him to defeat, because he knows their arguments. He himself once believed in that. He was thinking that this was the ultimate truth, and he was not convinced. And now he's preaching to Prithu Maharaj, who is a great devotee. And he's using the arguments of the Mayavadis to defeat their own theory. So that's the best way. Here he's using specifically the analogy of the rope and the snake. Right? The Sanskrit is Sradivahi Buddhi. No, that conception of the mistaking a rope to be a snake in a situation of half light. Let's say you're coming to Mangalarti and there's a rope on the road, but because there's not enough light, you think it's a snake and you jump. But later on when you come back from Mangalarti, then you see, oh, it's just a rope there on the ground. So the Mayavadis, they use that analogy to prove their Vivarta Vada, or the theory that the material world is false, doesn't exist. It's just a misconception, and you're taking a rope to be a snake. But if you just put some light there, if you just apply your intelligence, viveka, no? Viveka viduti, that misconception can be cleared by that discrimination, viveka. So that's the idea. Jagan mitya, Brahma satyam, jagan mitya. That the Brahman is the only reality and the whole creation is false. Jiva Brahmaiva Naparaha. And there's no difference between the Jiva and the Brahman. So that's the summary of the whole philosophy. Brahman Satyam. Brahman is real. And Jagat Mitya. The universe is false. Jiva Brahmaiva Naparaha. There is no difference, no distinction between the Jiva and Brahman. So, this analogy is utilized to teach that philosophy actually is all false, and you are mistaking it for real. But Prabhupada, analyzing the same analogy in another purport in the seventh canto, Prabhupada says this kind of juggling, this is for children. It's just to impress unexperienced children. Why? Because if you say that someone is afraid of a rope and is not think it's a snake, and therefore the snake is false, is not a very deep reasoning. Because if the person is afraid of the snake, even though in that particular case, maybe here I have a rope, there is no snake here. But the fact that I have fear and I jump because of that rope means that I have experience of a snake. I know that there is a snake somewhere else. And now I'm thinking a snake is in front of me, therefore I'm jumping. So the conclusion is wrong. The analogy is fine, no? The analogy is being utilized here in the Bhagavatam, Sanat Kumara is utilizing it. But the conclusion of the Mayavada is that, therefore, there is no material world. The material world is false. And the devotees say, no, therefore, even though it's a mistake to take the material world to be meant for our enjoyment, you cannot say it is false. It's a mistake, it's an illusion to think a rope to be a snake. But you cannot conclude that there is no snake. Because the fact that someone has fear of a snake implicates that there is a snake somewhere else. Otherwise, if you don't have experience of snake, how can you be afraid of something that you never experienced, never heard about? So that's a very shallow reasoning. And anybody who has a little bit of thinking power, he understands that this conclusion is wrong. So it's similar to the analogy of the plastic apple. So someone sees a plastic apple And he thinks, no, oh, I'm going to eat that apple. I want to enjoy that apple. Then when he actually catches the apple in his hand, and then he realizes it's plastic, so he throws it away. So that's like the karma and the jnana, you know. First the karma, he wants to enjoy the material world. And then the jnana, he says, oh, it's false, and he throws it away. But a person who is not attached, he can take that plastic apple and say, oh, actually, this is not a real apple. This is just an imitation of apple meant for decoration. It was not meant, it wasn't made for being eaten. It was made for what? For decoration. You put in your house, you know, you put a basket with these plastic apples and utilize that as decoration. So it has a purpose, but it's not the purpose that the person has in mind in the beginning. The bewildered person looks and thinks, oh, that apple is meant for me to enjoy. I want to eat the apple. And then when he analyzes, no, actually, it's not for eating, it's for decoration, it's for a different purpose. But still, you cannot say it's false. No, the Mayavadi, out of frustration, when after the karmic tries to enjoy the material world and he cannot enjoy, then he throws it away. But the devotee, he can see everything in its relation to Krishna and how it has a purpose. So the devotee will see the material world and he understands, yes, to look at the material energy and think, it's all meant for me to enjoy. Oh, so nice, Krishna created the whole universe for me to enjoy. Therefore, I should exploit the resources of material nature. I should kill the animals and eat them up. And I should use everything for my enjoyment. That is illusion. But you cannot say that, okay, this person is in illusion, therefore the material world is false. No. The material world is an energy of Krishna, which is meant to teach some lessons to the living entity and bring them to the point of surrendering to Krishna. So it has a purpose. It is not false. But the person who is taking it as something that Krishna gave to us to enjoy, he is an illusion. So he is looking at the rope and thinking it is a snake. Okay, so that's the misgiving in this conclusion of the analogy of the rope and the snake. But the same analogy being properly explained, it will lead to the conclusion that therefore we should surrender to that person who is the master of Maya. Right? If there is Maya, and Maya is putting the living entities in this material world under illusion, so the person who controls Maya should be the person to whom we should surrender. So in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, no? Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Amrisha. So he, Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is the one who has the power to create this appearance of reality utilizing the material ingredients. It's just a combination of fire, water, and earth. Tejo Vari Mridam. You take some mud, some earth, and you mix with some water, and you cook it in the fire, and you have a brick. And in that brick, you can make so many buildings. And even though it appears to be so many different buildings, but it's all made of the same thing. It's earth mixed with water and cooked in the fire. Right? So the whole creation is just a combination of Tejo Vari Mridam. But by the power, the inconceivable power of the Supreme Lord, of the Absolute Truth, he can make this appear to be real. So that person who is the master of Maya, to whom we should surrender. And that's the conclusion here. Tam prapadye. Tam nitya mukta parishuddha vishuddha tatam pratyuddha karma kalila prakritim prapadye. Unto him who is eternally liberated, who is completely free from all contamination, and who defeats the material contaminated, material energy. So unto him we should surrender. Right? That's the conclusion of Sanat Kumara. That's also the conclusion of Vyasadeva, when Narada Muni told him, you should meditate on the Supreme Absolute Truth and you should write Srimad Bhagavatam. So what was the result? Bhakti Yogena Manasi, no? By absorbing his mind in Bhakti Yoga, Samyak Pranihite Amale, Apashat Purusham Purnam Mayam Tachara Pashrayam. He was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Purusha, Purnam, complete, with his internal potency. And he was also able to see his external energy, Maya, under his full control. So the devotees like Vyasadeva and Sanat Kumara, they point out that this Maya is under the control of the Absolute Truth. And therefore, we who are under the control of Maya, the only way that we can get rid from that, from the control of Maya, is surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. No? Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita also in very simple words, Daivihyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durataya. You cannot overcome my illusory potency unless you surrender unto me. So it's a very simple thing for a devotee to understand, but it's a very difficult thing for the Mayavadis to understand. And Prabhupada says, no, that this kind of philosophy is very good for inexperienced children. So how can we understand that? No, how is that inexperienced children? But we see, usually the Mayavadis, they think themselves so intelligent, and they consider themselves great scholars. Usually either they are great scholars in Vedic literature, or they are great PhDs in the universities, and they are so convinced that everything should be impersonal. And they don't even bother looking into the Vaishnava philosophy because they think that is for children. Well, these people, they cannot abstract and thinking in abstract terms, so they have to, everything they have to say, there's a person behind, no, and they have to give a form. So they think it's very childish to give forms and to consider there is a person behind everything. They don't even bother trying to understand that. And they say, how can you limit God? How can you say the Absolute Truth can be limited to a body? So, but the Bhagavatam, in the very first sentence, shows that situation, that apparent contradiction. No, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's enough. I offer my obeisances unto Bhagavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you offer obeisance means you are surrendered to someone superior. That implies bhakti. And that person who is superior is Bhagavan, is the one who possesses all opulences in full. And that Bhagavan is called Vasudeva, which means he's a person because he's the son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva means one who comes from Vasudeva. So he's a person. He has a father, he has a name, he has a personality, he has everything that a person has. But then the Mayavadis say, no, no, you cannot limit. You cannot limit the Supreme. How you can limit him to a body? But Vasudeva also means all-pervading. So Prabhupada translates the all-pervading personality of Godhead. So he's a personality, but he's all-pervading. We are non-pervading personality. We are only one place and we are limited in our material body. But Krishna, he can have a body which is unlimited and which is all-pervading. So just with one word, Vasudevaya, the Bhagavatam solves that problem. But so many big professors and so many big Mayavadis, they cannot understand this simple point. That the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable potency, he can be at the same time a person and be unlimited, all-pervading. That's a transcendental body. It's not a material body made of material ingredients. So, another problem with the Mayavada philosophy is that they want to say that everything is one. Everything has to be only one. But then, how can you explain this material world? So, Shankaracharya introduced the philosophy of Maya. Therefore, they're called Mayavadis. So the philosophy of Maya means what? Means that the Brahman is covered by Maya. And Maya, Shankaracharya says, is not simply a negative, it's not just ignorance. It's not just the absence of knowledge. Maya is positive misconception. That means Maya has two functions. One is to make us forget the real knowledge and make us identify with a false knowledge, which means Maya is projecting a false reality in front of our eyes. So Maya has to have some positive existence. Otherwise, if Maya is just the absence of knowledge, then she cannot impose some false knowledge on us. She cannot create a projection of a false material world and a false material bodies that we have. So Shankaracharya says Maya is a positive entity. But then if you say, how can you maintain your philosophy of oneness? Because if you have Maya and you have Brahman, that already makes at least two. So then they say, no, but Maya cannot exist. So, but if Maya doesn't exist, then how it can cover the Brahman? So Maya has to exist. So how, but it's highly contradictory to say that something can exist and cannot non-exist. Right? It's very contradictory. So what's the solution? They say it's non-existent and it's non-existent. That's the solution. You say, oh, so Maya exists. They say, no, does not exist. It's non-existent. So you say, Maya doesn't exist. No, it's non-existent. So they have a term for that. It's sada sadvilakshana. It has the symptom the symptom of being sat, of not being sat, nor being asat. It's not real and it's not unreal. Then how can you understand something like that? You know, someone protests, but how can you explain that? They say, no, it's anirvachaniya. It cannot express in words. And that's the end of it. Right? So it's such a bewildering juggling of words, and it's such a like illogical, irrational theory. But so many people in the world who think they have big brains, they believe in that. And if a devotee comes and tells them, look, the Absolute Truth is a person, and he plays a flute, then they think, well, that's so childish. No? So the only explanation that we can find to such a phenomenon that so many so-called intelligent people, they have this kind of bewildered understanding, is that it's all based on envy. They cannot accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. They cannot accept that I'm not the Supreme, someone is bigger than me, and I'm supposed to surrender to him. No, this word prapadye is actually a big word. It means I have to surrender. And when you say surrender, that means someone is higher than me. And because the living entity came to this world trying to forget that Krishna exists and trying to think that I am the Supreme, and I am the most important, and I am the most everything. So because of that, the living entity has a natural reluctance in accept that someone else can be superior. And that's the only reason why such a philosophy, such a Mayavada philosophy, and so many theories like that, Big Bang and things like that, they exist. Because even though they are irrational, but they allow the living entity to maintain their illusion that I can be supreme. I don't have to surrender to a god. No? If the whole universe is created simply from some explosion, then I don't have to admit the existence of God. And therefore I don't have to surrender. I can forget about this prapadye, about sharanam vraja. So it's all about envy, no? The living entity is envious of God. He cannot accept that he has to surrender. And therefore he uses all the energy of his brain because he has to somehow or another justify that there is no God. Even though it's the most illogical proposal, they struggle so hard to prove that there must be no God. So this is the most misleading philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always saying, no, that this is the Vaishnava should never listen to Mayavadis because it's the most offensive philosophy against Krishna. And Prabhupada, he had that mood, no, very strong mood. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. He wanted to deliver the world from this misconception of impersonalism. Okay, so these shlokas that we have seen until now, from the 22nd of this chapter until the 36th, they're actually only speaking about Jnana Mishra Bhakti. That means bhakti which is mixed with knowledge. And according to Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, 37 and 38, which is this one, 38, they are about Bhakti Mishra Jnana, which means this is not even pure Bhakti, this is just Jnana with a little bit of Bhakti. And he explains in so many places, Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur and all the acharyas, they explain that even for a Jnani, even if someone is a Jnani, if he wants to achieve any success, or if he wants to make any spiritual advancement through his jnana, he has to mix some bhakti in it. Because bhakti is the life and soul of all spiritual processes. So, that's explained also in the Bhagavad Gita. The first six chapters are emphasizing karma, the last six chapters are emphasizing jnana, and the middle six are emphasizing bhakti. So why bhakti has to be in the middle? One of the reasons is that bhakti is the life and soul of all transcendental processes. Therefore, it has to be in the middle so that it touches karma and touches jnana. Otherwise, jnana and karma, without the touch of bhakti, they are useless. So that's also by Vishvanathacharya Thakur. Therefore, in this shloka, even though the emphasis is jnana, viveka viduti sraji vahi buddhi, no? One can become free from the misconception of the snake and the rope by thoughtful discrimination, viveka viduti. So, the emphasis is jnana. However, this is jnana mixed with bhakti, prapadye. Even though you are utilizing your discrimination, you are relying on your intelligence to try to understand, to become free from the misconception, but you do that at the same time you surrender to the Lord, because unless you surrender, even the biggest brain in the world, even the biggest impersonalist, he cannot achieve any spiritual advancement without surrender to the Lord. But understanding that Prithu Maharaj is a great devotee, in tomorrow's verse 39, then Sanat Kumar will explain what is pure devotional service. So it's a wonderful verse, and I'll stop here. I'll leave it for tomorrow. You can listen this verse from maybe Maharaj give class. And it's a wonderful verse describing the process of pure devotional service. And that's what Prithu Maharaj was actually waiting to listen. Okay, so what time is it? I don't have any time. How much time you have? We have 5 minutes. Yeah, so I just wanted to say a few words in honor of Devarishi Prabhu, who recently left our association. And it was a great loss for the community to have a devotee like Devarishi Prabhu, great Vaishnava, great sadhu, and at the same time, extremely qualified astrologer. So, knowing that he's a great sadhu, very fixed up devotee, we can feel like peaceful, and yeah, that now Krishna took him and he's moving upwards towards Krishna, and so we don't have to lament for him. But it's a great loss for our community, for our community, and even for the whole ISKCON community, to not have anymore his association and his guidance. In all the years I have been in Mayapur, I remember so many times going to him for guidance. And I never saw an astrologer who could be more precise than Devarishi Prabhu. He could go to the point, no, and give amazing predictions and amazing devotional guidance how to actually face the challenges that we have in life. So that's was a precious support we had that we don't have anymore. A devotee like him who was an astrologer and a Vaishnava, and who could deeply understand the science of astrology and at the same time give advice as a devotee, you know? So that was a big loss. I'm still bewildered to understand how it happened so quickly, because no, he never expressed what he was going through. He was actually going through that sickness for a long time. He was probably suffering a lot, but he wouldn't say to anybody, he wouldn't let anybody know, and he wouldn't ask help. That's the difficulty, you know, with devotees like him. He could ask help. Everybody would be eager to help him. The last time I went to his hut, maybe 1.5 months ago, and I spoke to him, I saw he was coughing, and I tried to help him, I wanted to give him something, but he wouldn't accept, no? So, anyway, after some time, you know, my neighbor, Ishvara Prabhu, was going there saying, oh, he's getting better. And then after some time, he was again getting worse, and he went to Calcutta and came back, okay, now he's better. But then, no, suddenly, he left. So, it's a challenge for us devotees to learn how to take care of each other and to take care of the Vaishnavas in the community, especially someone who is so detached to the point that he's not going to seek help. Devotees, they generally looks like devotees, they die very easily, no? They're not afraid of dying, they're not attached so much to the material body, so they can very easily go. A materialist to do everything to prolong his life a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. But a devotee, no? From the description I heard, he was just in the ambulance and he felt, no, it's coming to the end. He asked for his japamala to put around his neck and for his shalagram shila to keep on his heart. And then he opened his mouth very wide. And the Mataji, who was there in the ambulance, Rimati Mataji, she said he opened his mouth very wide. And then, after that, he closed his eyes. And when they came back to the hospital, because she saw something happening, she told the driver, go back, no? They're just leaving from Krishnanagar to go to Calcutta. But Krishna didn't want him to go out of the dam. So she told the driver, come back to the hospital. But by the time they reached, he was gone. So he just opened wide his mouth, looks like he was just going out of his body and like that, without any complaint, without anything, he just left with his shalagram shila and his japamala around his neck and listening to Prabhupada's kirtan. So it's a glorious achievement for a devotee like him. It's a loss for us. No? We all appreciated so much his association. And I'm going to miss his association now. His Grace Devashi Prabhu ki jai. Smaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Rantaraj Shmat Bhagavatam ki jai. Itai Gora Premanande Hari Hari Bo.